In December 2009, 45,000 people met in Copenhagen to save the world. Many believe that these 2 weeks were two of the most important weeks in the history of the world. Why? Because there are millions on this planet who believe our world has no future. And they believe that the future will come to an end environmentally when everything collapses. Serious, serious stuff. Is that what the Bible says? Was Copenhagen our last chance? Is there a future for our planet? Or will we descend into environmental chaos? Today I want to share with you what the Bible has to say on this very important subject. Let's pray. Father in heaven, through your Holy Spirit, I want to pray that you'll be with us today. Touch our hearts and draw us to you. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to put on the record, right from the start, I am not a climate skeptic or a climate denier. I am not. But I want to tell you something else. I am also not necessarily a CO2 climate believer. I am a Christian. And because I am a Christian, what I believe about the future of our planet comes from this book, the Bible. And so I want to tell you, it was with, I guess, and I better say this carefully, but it was with an ironic smile that I watched Copenhagen just a little while ago. Some of the most powerful leaders in the world were there. The Prime Minister of Australia, the President of China, the President of the United States of America, the Prime Minister of Great Britain. They were all there endeavouring to hammer out an environmental deal that would save the planet. But most of you who saw the news and watched it on television or heard it on the radio or read it in your newspapers, most of you know that Copenhagen was an abject failure. Whether you're a climate believer, and I dare not say the word, but I will, or a climate denier, Copenhagen was a failure. The most powerful leaders in the world were there, and yet it was an abject failure. And I want to share with you from the Bible why Copenhagen was such a struggle. And I want to do that by just taking you to seven biblical points. Seven biblical points that will put Copenhagen in perspective and give you hope for a future on this world. The first thing I want to tell you today is that never, and you need to understand this, never in the history of our world have we as a human race been able to unite to literally do anything worthwhile. We cannot unite to save ourselves. And the Bible makes it very clear in Daniel chapter 2, where you've got this tremendous end time prophecy, where it says men will come together, just like we saw at Copenhagen. They will come together and they will try to unite the nations. But Daniel 2 and verse 43, right in the middle of this great end time prophecy, says, "And just as you saw iron mixed with baked clay, so the people will be a mixture and will not remain united any more than iron mixes with clay. No matter how mankind tries, no matter how serious the crisis, even if the world faces a limited future because of what we are doing, we are not capable of saving ourselves. We are too selfish. We are too self-interested. If you are relying on man and mankind and world governments and prime ministers and presidents, no matter how popular, no matter how powerful, to save the world, you are in trouble. They can't do it. They'll never unite together to save the planet. How do I know? The Bible says it. Greatest prophecy, one of the greatest end time prophecies. Bible clearly says it. We cannot, they will not unite even to save the planet. Second point. Now I want to tell you, I'm not a biologist. I'm not a scientist. And I'm not even an environmentalist. I know limited things about our planet. But what I do know is this, and I can say this in the certainty of what Scripture teaches me. CO2 is not the risk to the world that is being made out to be. It will not, now hear me, carbon the carbon pollution that we are spewing out as human beings. It will not bring the extinction of mankind. No matter what scientists say, no matter what biologists say, no matter what the environmentalists scream at us, CO2 will not bring an end to mankind on this planet. Even if it does cause global warming. CO2 is not the problem. I'll go even further. CO2 or carbon will not be the major factor in the downfall of our planet. It's not mentioned in the scripture from Genesis to Revelation. So what will bring about the downfall of our planet? Romans chapter 5 verse 12. Listen to this. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed to all men, for all have sinned. There's a problem for the planet. It's not CO2, it's not carbon, it's not pollution. It's not environmental vandalism, as bad as that is. The problem our planet has is sin. And it is sin, rebellion against God. It is sin that will bring about and is bringing about the downfall of the planet. It is sin, eventually, that will cause life on this planet to cease. And you better believe it. That's the problem we face. And it amazes me that so much effort and so much money is put into fighting carbon pollution. I understand it. But it amazes me when all this effort is put in by mankind to fighting this bushfire, and yet the real crisis, the real threat to our planet, the real reason we're going down is sin. And it is sin that will destroy us. And it is sin that will finish mankind on this earth. Point three, the Bible, and you can rely on this book, it's a book that comes from the mind of God through men to you. You can rely on it. The Bible clearly says that mankind will be living on the earth. They will not become extinct. Hear me. The human race will not become extinct because of the carbon problem. Mankind, the Bible says, very clearly, will be living on the earth right up until the second coming of Jesus. Global warming will not extinct the planet. Matthew 24, verse 37. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day that Noah entered the ark. Now look at this. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. When Jesus comes the second time to stop life on this planet, that's when humankind on this planet will cease to exist at the second coming of Jesus. When Jesus comes the second time, the Bible says they'll be eating, they'll be marrying, they'll be doing business. I want to tell you very clearly that the Bible says that carbon pollution, CO2, will not extinct humankind from this planet. The fourth point, and I think this is an important one for Christians. If you've got your eyes open and you're a fair-minded person, you would have to admit that the world is deteriorating environmentally. Look, as I said, I'm not a scientist, I'm not a biologist, I'm not even an environmentalist. But I read, I watch television, I listen and look at analysis from experts. And there I have no doubt, and most of you would have no doubt, that in some places the world is hotting up, in other places it's cooling. The weather is becoming more extreme. Droughts are drier. Look at the Murray River and the problems we have with the food bowl of Australia because of droughts. Droughts are drier, floods are wetter, and they are bigger. Look at the floods that are racking Australia, the driest continent on earth. It's either flooding or we're in drought. We seem to be stuck between two extremes. Floods are wetter and bigger. Summers are hotter, and winters are colder. And it seems to me that the weather is tipping around like a crazy drunk. And scientists can't work it out. That's why you have scientists, eminent men and women, of high intelligence, of high learning. That's why you have them confused and taking different sides in the global warming debate, because there seems to be no consistency of the scientific facts when they're trying to work out what is happening. The world is deteriorating, and it is deteriorating environmentally. And as it has gotten older, it has worn out, just like you and I do. You know, I'm 46 years of age. I used to win triathlons. I know it's hard to believe, but it's true. I used to play rugby league football. I was never a great rugby league footballer, but I played it. I played cricket. I used to be a good runner, a good swimmer, a good cyclist. But as I have gotten older, my body has deteriorated. Yep, 46 and it's deteriorated. I'm not like I was when I was 25, 26. I'm not in the prime of life anymore. Our world is the same. It's some 6,000 years old or more. And it's getting old. And it's deteriorating. And it's wearing out. And it's not working as it should. Look what the Bible says in Isaiah 51 verse 6. Look what the Bible says about the world. Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look upon the earth beneath. For the heavens shall vanish away like smoke, and the earth, listen to this, so important, and the earth shall wax old like a garment. It is getting old. And as it gets old, it's not working properly. And perhaps we as human beings are helping it in the aging process. But don't kid yourself. Don't kid yourself for a minute. Don't fool yourself that human beings can stop the aging process or fix the aging process. It's impossible. We can't save ourselves. This world is going to die, but it will not die before Jesus comes. And mankind, who are indigenous and aboriginal to this planet, mankind will not become extinct before we see Jesus Christ. Point five, as I've already said, the world is going to deteriorate environmentally before Jesus comes. But it will not perish. We've already established that. It will be Jesus who will end the world in his time when he is ready. And when he does return, Jesus will destroy those. Listen to this. Jesus will destroy those who were destroying the world. Now hear me. There is no excuse for a Christian or a follower of Jesus to be an environmental vandal. Jesus gave us, he made this planet and he gave it to us. I've already said it and I'll say it again. Every human being is Aboriginal, is indigenous to this planet. We are made of the very substance, dirt, the substance, the elements of a human being are the same as dirt. We are made of the substance of this planet. We are indigenous. We are Aboriginal to the planet. And God gave us the world and he expects us to look after it. And in Revelation chapter 11 verse 18, he gives a warning for people who claim to be Christians and yet turn out to be and act as environmental vandals. He says, and the nations were angry, and the wrath has come, and the time of the dead that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and to them that fear thy name. This is a description of Jesus' second coming. And then the Bible says, and shouldst come and destroy them that would destroy the earth. Jesus is the judge. Jesus is the King of Kings. He is returning to this earth to save the planet. He is the Savior. He is the only one who can do it. And when he comes back, Jesus will ask for an accounting for those who've destroyed the planet. And the Bible says, and it's serious, serious talk. It's a serious, serious thing when Jesus says, I'm coming back and I'm going to destroy those who would destroy this world. I want to say it again. There is no place for environmental vandalism of any type in the experience of a Christian, we will treat this world carefully. We will be biblical environmentalists. We will treat this world with respect because it was given to us by God and we are a part of it. We are Aboriginal. We are indigenous to this planet. Point six. Second last point. We're bringing this thing to a conclusion. We will see global warming in an unprecedented scale on our planet. I wish it wasn't the case. I wish I didn't have to share this with you. But the future of this planet is fairly bleak, especially if you don't follow Jesus Christ. And seven last plagues will descend upon this planet just before the world ends and Jesus comes. You don't have to believe this, but it's in the Bible. Check Revelation chapter 16. And the fourth plague, it's a serious one. The fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and the sun was given power to scorch people with fire. They were seared by the intense heat, and they cursed the name of God who had control over these plagues, but they refused to repent and glorify him. Revelation 16, 8 and 9. There will be global warming, but there's nothing mankind can do about it. And one of the things I praise God about is that if you are a follower of Jesus, if you have allowed him to come into your heart, then you have a future. These plagues and the future of this doomed planet don't have to be yours. And point seven brings that out very clearly. In Copenhagen, millions of people had their hopes dashed. They were dashed. Scientists and governmental leaders, they could not come to agreement. They could not hammer out a deal. Why? Because they can't save the world. I can't bring that home to you enough. They can't, they won't. It's impossible for them to save the world. No ETS, no carbon tax, no other approach to global warming will save this planet. The only person capable of saving this planet is the man Jesus Christ, who is God and Savior of the world. Jesus is the Savior. Do not put your faith and your trust in your future in any other person's hands. If you are relying on governments, if you are relying on scientists to save this planet, then you will have your hopes for a future dashed, because Jesus is the only hope. The Bible preaches it from Genesis to Revelation. Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. There is no other hope other than him. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. One of the great catch cries for the Christian movement says, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ." We might live on this world, but our citizenship is up there. It is in heaven, and as the world decays, as it sinks into chaos, as environmentally it becomes almost unsustainable to live on, we look up, we lift up our heads, because we know that Jesus is coming soon to save the planet and to save human beings. It's what the Bible teaches, and it's what I preach, it's what I believe. And if you want to be ready for Jesus, if you want to hope for a future, then it is as simple as inviting him into your heart. Why don't you do that today as we close this Bible study? Close your eyes and repeat this prayer after me and prepare your life for a future with Jesus. Dear Father in heaven, we see the chaos on our planet. We feel fear and trepidation as we look at the environmental disaster this place you have given us has become. Some of us feel there is no future. And with the failure of Copenhagen, we are scared. Help us to recognize, Lord, that you are the only escape, that you are the Savior of this planet. Forgive me for my sin and wrongdoing. Come into my heart and be my Savior today, is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.